Every creature deserves to live a life in that promised Garden of Eden. The chickens, the turkeys, the pigs, and the cows, all of them have a right to live a life that is free from cruelty, from the harsh conditions that factory farming imposes on these wonderful members of the animal kingdom. Yes, you are listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver, and affectionately known as Co-op Radio. In this program, it's presented to you by volunteer members of the Vancouver Humane Society, the Animal Defense and Anti-Vivisection Society, and Earth Safe Canada. We have a great program for you today. Shortly, we will be speaking with Sinica Crossland. She's the founder of an organization called TRAX, based in West Bank in the Okanagan. And they call themselves the Responsible Animal Care Society. Then we will speak with Anneliese Zorg. She is from the No Whales in Captivity organization, and she considers herself to be the watchdog for the Vancouver Aquarium. Then, John, you'll be speaking with somebody from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
That's
Peter.
Right. And what's cruel about juice? Stay tuned and find out.
Yes, and I rushed into the program here. What is happening today is we have Hazel here in this, and she's going to be telling us a story. John Pranger is in the control room. We have Marge Adams, she's in the Maritime Provinces, and our regular person in the control room, Alan Jensen, is away for 2 weeks. So we're manning the forts here. Well, Sinica Crossland wrote a wonderful poem, and she's going to be on shortly, and she wrote, this is called The Gift. Let us give a gift to the world. A gift of joy and boundless peace. Just for a moment, let us see through the eyes of those so much weaker than us, those who suffer. An infant prisoner, the veal calf, crying in darkness for the mother he has never known, her milk collected for higher appetites. So that is what Sinica Crossland writes. Well, maybe I'd just go on because there's a wonderful festival happening because of Earth Save. I think it's been going on for about 8 years now. It's going to be at the Croatian Cultural Center in Vancouver. It's on 3250 Commercial Drive. That's Commercial Drive and 16th. And it's a wonderful two-day festival. It's going to be on the September the 30th, Saturday, September the 30th, and October the 1st. They're going to have speakers there. That is going to be Ray Sikora, and she's concerned about animal and environmental issues, and wants to learn about how to live a more respectful, compassionate, and she asks if anybody would like to live in a more peaceful, compassionate, and ecological way. So that's going to be, she's one of the keynote speakers at the Taste of Health, September the 30th. Then Paul Nison, he's one of the world's leading raw food authors, is going to be speaking. Bruce Passmore from the Vancouver Humane Society. He'll be teaching people about eggs, the egg issue, and something about pigs as well. But anyway, it's a food festival, and if you eat, that is for you. And John, we're going to maybe have a little song, or how about having Hazel tell us a little story? Okay. Which one, John?
Ashley Fruno.
Okay. Ashley Fruno has been in the news recently, Asia Pacific, because she went to Singapore, and the headline was that she was deported. Wow, John, where did you get this? And the Singapore detained two animal rights activists who were planning a naked demonstration outside a fast food restaurant and deported them Friday. One of the pair told. Ashley Fruno, a 20-year-old Vancouver woman, had planned to protest at a Kentucky Fried Chicken outlet in downtown Singapore Friday, wearing nothing but banner reading "The Naked Truth, KFC Tortures Chicks." Fruno and Jason Baker, executive director of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, were questioned for 9 hours by Singapore police on Thursday, and "We were detained for the whole of yesterday and we're going to be deported today," said Baker, a 34-year-old American, on Friday. "We can confirm that there was such a case," a police official told Reuters, while she hit Reuters. Anyway, that's bearing all for the animals. Anyway, so we're going to have Hazel on right now. And Hazel, you can tell a little story. So over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. I've got a really great story to tell about rats. And you had had a guest on your show about 3 weeks ago. She was talking about rats and how intelligent they are. And it brought to mind the experience that I had with the rats on my farm. And they are very, very intelligent creatures. They are so intelligent. They're freaky, freaky intelligence. I have chickens that laid eggs and layers, and it was getting into the fall, and there just didn't seem to be any eggs in the nests anymore, and I was wondering, gee, what's going on? And my husband and I were just new farmers and hobby farmers, and so we got a book on farming and chickens and everything, and it said that sometimes things can trigger your hens that they don't want to lay eggs, they get frightened or something may happen. So what you do is you get some fake eggs, which we went and bought, just round egg, empty egg, plastic eggs, and you put them in the nest, because the chickens usually sit in the same nest. They usually lay their eggs in one nest. And so the nest that was the most popular, we put these plastic eggs in. I think we probably bought maybe 6 or 8 eggs in there, and just to encourage the chickens to lay. And then the next day when I went out there to collect the eggs, the plastic eggs were gone. So which made me think, the hens are laying eggs, but somebody's taking them. So of course we figured it was rats, because we did have a rat problem on our farm. Like most farms do. And then the next day I went down there to the hen house, and the plastic eggs were brought back, which is so amazing.
Oh, man.
Some of them were put in the nest, but most of them were on the floor in the hen house. But there was a little trail that led into where the rat came from. So I put my glove on, and I stuck my hand down that hole, and I pulled out so many eggs. I mean, a whole clutch of eggs. I mean, this rat or rats was collecting them and keeping probably for the winter time to eat. So I pulled all kinds of eggs out. I think I probably pulled out about 50 eggs. And there's some duck eggs in there, too, because we did have ducks. And anyways, the next day when I would go and get my eggs from the hen house, if there wasn't any eggs in the nest, I just go down to the rat's nest and I just stick my hands down there and pull out my eggs, and that's where I collected them. So I just robbed the rats of their eggs. So that's my story.
That's so funny.
Thank you, Hazel. And Yeah, it doesn't seem as if Seneca Crossland is coming through to us. So what we'll do is we'll talk about, there's a wonderful web page called www.dairyinfo.ca. If you want to know all about dairy, and it says there, beet, cheese, what's that? It says, famous vegetarians are giving up dairy and eggs and going vegan. So, vegetarians are taking it a step further. Veganism is the new buzzword for those who prefer to go veg. Paul McCartney is one. So is Pamela Anderson. Alicia Silverstone is all for it. So are Cameron Diaz and Gwyneth Paltrow. Well, so that's for the famous names that that are turning vegan. For many vegetarians, are taking their beliefs a step further and adopting veganism. The word means the sum of exploitation of animals for food, clothing, and the exclusion of animal meat and products in one's diet, including eggs and dairy produce. According to lore, the very concept of veganism has originated from the ancient Hindu principle of ahimsa. And Gandhi made the phrase ahimsa quite well known because it means compassion for all living things. So, John.
And non-harm.
Right? And non-harm, yes.
Yeah. Well, now, Hazel wants to become a vegan, and she asked me this morning how to do it. So maybe, and I said, well, Carl is a much better spokesperson for that than I am. So maybe Carl can give you some good advice.
Well, the thing is that what turned me to become a vegan was when Howard Lyman came to Vancouver about 15 years ago, and he said, no animal has to die for me to live. And what it really meant to me also was to look at how dairy products are being produced. So dairy products, 75% of all dairy cows in Canada never leave the concrete. It is so cruel. And in this poem which I read by Seneca Crossland, she talks about what happens to veal cows. Well, veal cows are taken away from their mothers on the day they're born. And they, it's like, can you imagine what that must be like? A mother having her baby taken away. And she bellows for weeks on end. I had a rancher once tell me, he says, the worst time for me is when I wean the cows. That's the most difficult time for me. He kept organic cows in Langley. That's where Hazel hails from. Fort Langley.
That's right.
Anyway, so now, of course, so that was the big thing, was difficulty with dairy. And what we did was we decided, first of all, we're not buying any more dairy. So, but then we went to a party or anything like that, and Beverly and I would say, well, where's it? Where's the cheese? Where's the cheese? It took us about 2 years to free ourselves from the habit. Now, apparently, there is a substance in dairy. It's it's like an opiate, casomorphin. Caso comes from the word casein, and morphin is a derivative of the word morphine. Well, it's nature's wonderful way of making the baby calf go after the teat. You know, the baby calf should drink that milk. And the sad fact is that Bev and I, we realized that we were addicted to dairy. We need to have that. We were craving it. And it took us quite a while to free. I know some people just say, oh, I'm not going to have any. Once they know that 75% of all dairy cows never leave the concrete. I mean, it's total factory farming. And I truly believe these farmers the only time these cows move from one place to another is when they move from their stalls to the to being milked. So
it would be very good. The Hindi population here would be cognizant of that fact, because of course they drink milk in pure innocence and did so in India as traditionally, but that was a very different system of obtaining milk, today's is very cruel, and if Hindi or Hindus and Buddhists want to avoid this cruelty, they would have to pretty well shop either for organic milk or cut it out altogether.
Yes, there is stages in which one do it. Plus, I believe, Hazel, you know that milk has some 56 different hormones. And the hormones in this milk contributes towards making a baby calf grow into a 400-pound cow in 6 months. So would you like to be like a big, like a cow, Hazel?
No, I wouldn't. And, you know, it's amazing because they talk about so much obesity in North America now. And I do believe that a lot of it does have to do with the hormones that are in the animals and the milk and the animal byproducts that people are eating innocently, you know?
You know that from experience, having fed animals yourself.
Yes, that's true.
What happened to the chickens?
Became obese and they became disabled because they grew so fast that their poor little legs or didn't grow fast enough to hold them up. And, you know, it's a sad thing, but that's the reality of it.
So people should look out for certified organic eggs. And we had people from the Canadians for Ethical Treatment of Farm Animals, they went out to Langley, and they saw the chickens could go in and out of the sunshine as they wished. And there was a dog that they had in the pen, and he loved the chickens.
Defended them against the foxes, I guess.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The chickens are so smart.
Well, I loved my chickens, and I used to sit right out in the paddock where I kept them. They were all outside, and they had grass and everything out there. And I used to sit on a bucket, and I just sit there and watch them because I was fascinated with them. And they do have personalities, and you know, a lot of them did have names. These weren't my meat birds. These were my layers. Oh. And I used to they would come over to me, and I'd always hold one on my lap and walk around the farm holding a chicken. And you know, they have personalities, and they're marvelous little creatures.
And the roosters?
The roosters.
Did you have roosters?
Oh, I had roosters, and I had one big rooster. We called him Big Red, and he was actually a scary big guy, but he really did protect the chickens from the predators and the hawks, you know, the chicken hawks and the predators that are always sneaking around, even though we can't see them. They all know they're there. And I was sharing with one day, it was sort of like November, and we had some little chicks that had become pullets. And because we used to have an incubator and we used to do the whole thing. And I think that the chicks were, I took them out of the brooder, and I think it was too soon. And I went into the barn, and here is our Big Red sitting there in a funny part of the barn where he shouldn't be. And he was sitting all squatted down, and his wings were right out like this, and he was all puffed up. And I thought, oh, something's happened to the rooster. He's been hurt. And he wasn't moving. He was just looking at me like really weird. And then I saw this little beak peek out from underneath his wing. And oh, my goodness. And then I peeked, and then he had all the pullets. I can't remember how many, maybe 10 or 12. He was squatted over them, and he had all the little pullets underneath him, and he was keeping them warm. And it shows you that these creatures are very intelligent, maybe not according to our standards, how we're thinking, but
as intelligent.
That's right, and their instincts and everything are it's just phenomenal.
If people want to know more about the lives of chickens, they can go to United Poultry Concerns. There's a wonderful lady called Karen Davis, and she has this organization. She speaks at the many of the seminars, and United Poultry Concerns. Well, you know, Hazel, you're telling me about that wonderful rooster, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that when they, so many of the eggs, chicks, they just get thrown into garbage if they're male. You know, they got these, the people who can tell the difference between a male chick and a female chick. Have you ever seen them doing that?
I haven't seen them, but I do know that they do something to the male chicken, and they take away his maleness. And they make them into a, what kind of a chicken it is now? It's called something else. And where they feed them again. Mm-hmm. They feed them the hormone food, and they fatten them up, and they slaughter them, and people can eat them too. I wish I could remember the name now. So I don't know about throwing them into the garbage, but I know that they do fatten them up and they feed them.
You know that these dissectors, what they do is they squish the little chicken so that their genitals become more visible. Oh. So that's how they do it. I've seen them do it. But Hazel, you know, I once saved the life of a rooster.
Oh, tell me.
Well, I was on the north side of Koh Samui in Thailand, and it was a little compound there. And it was about 10 cabins there, and they were on stilts, so the snakes wouldn't get into your bedroom. And sort of they were all separated. And there was a little kitchen there, and they kept chickens there, and there was a rooster. And that rooster always used to come under my cabin and make a noise around about 4 o'clock. At about 5, just when you fall, it was about 5 o'clock. Because at 4 o'clock, the Buddhist monastery next door used to call the devout for services. So 4 o'clock you got woken up. 5 o'clock the rooster was on. And one of my neighbors, he said, I pointed to that rooster. And you know, they breed them there to have extra long legs for cockfighting.
Oh.
That's still legal in there, sadly. And he made this where he pointed to me. My neighbor was very angry at this rooster. And he made the, you know, like you wring clothes, that's for the neck of the rooster. And he pointed to the rooster. But anyway, one day I went down to the beach and came back. And I tried to talk to this rooster. Why would he come to live underneath my cabin? And every time I tried to talk to him, he used to run away. So I said, oh, I'm giving up on this rooster. He doesn't want to talk to me. Doesn't want to even hear my little clicking sounds. But so I'd been on the beach. I came back into the compound. And lo and behold, I saw two dogs chasing the rooster. Well, didn't know what to do. I just stood there for a minute, and then the rooster came running towards me, and I chased away the dogs.
Wow.
And that's how I saved the life of a rooster.
That's wonderful.
Well, we can, John, maybe you have a little music here,
mm-hmm.
And over to John, who is in the controls today. We'll be hearing from him later on the program, because he's going to be interviewing somebody from PETA about animal experimentation. And over to you, John. Yes, and you're listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM. And many of our programs are listed on our webpage, which is www.animalvoices.org. So, also information. So this program today will probably be listed there. John puts on the program on the internet. Well, we have On the line we have a wonderful person who is the director and founder of the Coalition for No Whales in Captivity. Please welcome Annelise Zorg. Hello, Annelise.
Hi, Carl.
It's good to hear from you, and there's been lots happening in your life recently, probably been overwhelming you, but maybe you can start off with what's been happening at the Parks Board.
Oh, my life is always overwhelming as long as there's whales in captivity, as you know. The Park Board, we actually had a win for, it's been a long time since we've been able to go to a Park Board meeting and have the Park Board vote in favor of the whales and not the aquarium. In this case, your listeners might have caught in the news that the aquarium is trying to expand greatly in Stanley Park, and so there was a motion regarding the expansion that we had won back in 1995 that said that if the aquarium wanted to expand again, it would be sent to a public referendum vote together with the issue of whales in captivity, because, as you know, if there are bigger whale pools, there will be more whales. There is no doubt about that. So what the new Park Board did back in May was they decided to rescind those motions that had been on the books for the 10 past years, just deleted the motions, and wanted to give the aquarium their the expansion that they have proposed. We did a lot of writing and a lot of threats, I guess, and we told them that it would be a political scandal for them to do something like that, especially because the Park Board wanted to do a joint consultation process with the aquarium, which it would be like, let's say that that you are a restaurant owner in Stanley Park and you want to expand your business, so the Park Board, which is your landlord, would say, well, you go ahead and ask the people of Vancouver through your private public relations firm whether they want an expansion of your restaurant, and then come to us, and if the people said yes, well, we'll agree to it. So talk about lack of democracy, eh, Carl?
Yes, and of course, maybe we can just touch on the fact here that the Vancouver Aquarium, it's been such a big business to draw people to the whales in captivity, and I think people are getting the wrong message here. Because you spoke about this, having a referendum, and they wanted to put up like $300,000 towards this public relations firm. Maybe you can give us more accurate details.
Yeah, they have already forked out $300,000, which is, by the way, a drop in the whale tank, really, because this, quote, struggling nonprofit, as the aquarium directors like to call themselves, is a multi-billion dollar business that all we see, really, is the charitable status allows us to find out what it is they are making a year, which is only $24 million, but that's just on the charity. As far as we know, there's at least seven other businesses being run out of Stanley Park, of course paying no rent, etc., and they are limited companies. So we've got Vancouver Aquarium Limited, Vancouver Aquarium Consulting Limited, Vancouver Aquarium Management Limited, Vancouver Aquarium Research Limited, etc., 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 here and in the States, where they also manage aquariums down there. So all those things, the revenues from the restaurant, the revenues from their sales of seahorses to the Asian aphrodisiac market, seahorses that are not put on public display, just sold for aphrodisiacs, all those businesses are not listed under the nonprofit, of course. So as it turns out, we really don't know how much money the executive board of the aquarium is making on their own, on their businesses, because that's the beauty of this. The executive board of the Vancouver Aquarium nonprofit is also it's the same people as these other businesses that I just listed. They're directors as well of those businesses. So as you know, there's always something really fishy going on over there.
So a small group of dedicated people who belong to No Whales in Captivity, they involved in better ways of educating people about whales. I mean, after all, we study dinosaurs. We don't have them. We know about dinosaurs. But how about this? We have better ways of educating people about whales than keeping them in little pools.
And that's already been researched to death. I mean, it comes out every time there's a survey of the sort. Like, what did you learn at the aquarium, and where did you get really your understanding of the oceans and the sea creatures? Inevitably, first come things like the Jacques Cousteau movies, National Geographic documentaries, the BBC. I mean, and aquariums and zoo comes a third or fourth on the list. So we know that the people going to the aquarium are just going to spend the time. They spend 20 minutes watching a whale wave at the crowd and splash at the crown. They call it natural behavior, of all things. And then just, you know, go home and forget about that poor whale who continues to swim in endless circles for the rest of her life. So, yes, we are trying to educate the public about the suffering and the cruelty involved in not only keeping, but capturing, breeding, trading these poor animals that really belong in the wild and nowhere else.
So now you're educating people about the truth about keeping these whales in these little ponds, and but you became converted at some stage or other, and I believe you were once a tourist to the Vancouver Aquarium. What happened there?
Actually, I was more than a tourist. I was a tour guide. When I got to this country, and I come from Lima, Peru, so my native tongue is Spanish, and I quickly found a job. It was summertime, and I quickly found a job with a wholesale tour operator that dealt with mostly Mexicans, Argentinians, and so on that came to visit Vancouver. So they gave me the schedule, and they said, okay, you take these tourists around, and one of the stops was the Vancouver Aquarium. So when I walked in there with a handful of tourists I had in my charge, I almost fell backwards when I saw the orcas is swimming in this little puddle in the park. I had no idea that this was going on. So that really got me going, Carl. I mean, the rest is history.
Well, Vancouver is better off for having you work on this issue. But also, the next issue here is with the Vancouver Aquarium is that they're dealing in whales, in dolphins. And maybe because that's quite the issue here, and you're going to be having a protest meeting here on this coming Wednesday, maybe you should encourage our listeners to come out and become a part of not only being a tourist, but becoming active in what you're conveying to us right now.
Yes, to your listeners, if you want to be updated on what we're doing, and there's always something happening. I mean, we hold meetings, we go to park board meetings, we hold protests. There's always something going on. What we do is we just send it over the email. Your email address will not be published. It's always under blind copy. We do not send pictures or anything like that. We just send the basic information of what's happening and how to help, really. So if I can give my email address and right now, I'll give you my personal address, it'll be simpler. Annelise, annelise@direct.ca. annelise@direct.ca. You can send me an email with information, with questions, whatever you want. And if you want to be placed on our list of volunteers, please, you know, just let me know. There is no fees or anything like that. We are a non-profit group, and we do a lot of lobbying on behalf of the whales. The other
the
thing
web
that
page.
In the webpage, absolutely.
Webpage, no whales in captivity.
No whales in captivity.org. Okay. It's a brand new webpage. There is a lot more history in another webpage, which is whaleprotection.org, but our newer stuff is now under no whales in captivity.org. Again, we're all volunteers. There's not one single paid person organization for the last 20 years, so our website isn't always updated right away, of course, because we depend on other people. But the reason that you should be on the email list and not just checking on our webpage is because, for instance, there is a protest coming up on Wednesday. And there's usually not enough time to set that up in the webpage and have everybody look at it. So we send out action alerts and notices. In this case, Wednesday, September 20th, from noon to 1 p.m. outside the aquarium, please join us. Come and hold the banner that says, Vancouver Aquarium, stop buying dolphins from Japan. Because what's happening in Japan is just a crime to nature. Ever since the whaling ban came into effect in 1986 and the Japanese were supposed to stop killing whales, which we all know they haven't, but they decided that they would go after the smaller cetaceans, and that means the dolphins and the porpoises. They kill thousands and thousands and thousands of them every year. But the reason they do that is mostly because aquariums place orders for new dolphins. And that way, when what they do is called a dolphin drive, they push the dolphins' pods onto the beach into small coves where they trap them and then separate the babies from the mothers. The dolphins that are still good to be sent to aquariums, to be sold to aquariums, are separated and the rest are killed. Sometimes they are let go, but most of them they are killed and mostly used for pet food, if you can believe it, these beautiful, intelligent animals becoming pet food. So
so now that's in Japan, in what town? And apparently this the dolphin killing has already started. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, no, it's been going on for a while. Actually, there's two places that are most famous for what they do. One is the Futo Dolphin Drive, which is the one that Enoshita Aquarium purchases dolphins from, the Futo Dolphin Drive. And the Vancouver Aquarium purchases dolphins from the Enoshita Aquarium.
So how much did they pay for a dolphin?
About $100,000. It depends if the dolphin is trained, how young. But probably between $100,000 and $200,000. If they're just caught off the beach and they have absolutely no training, they can go as low as $30,000.
You know, Annalisa, we've got only less than 30 seconds left. Maybe we can just run through this action alert of no whales in captivity. People can go to the webpage. Maybe just run through that there. And we have maybe can do that right now.
Please come to this protest. Protest the Vancouver Aquarium buying dolphins from the Japanese drive, dolphin drive. It's Wednesday, September 20th, from noon to 1. It's an opportunity to join 129 other NGOs around the world protesting in 30 cities. So it will be a worldwide protest. Please join us. We need you.
And we've been speaking to Annalisa Zorg from the nowhalesincaptivity.org, and she is a self-styled watchdog for the Vancouver Aquarium to make sure that there is no animal cruelty at that organization. Thank you. You're listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFR Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver.
We heard it from Mandela, turn this world around for the children, turn this world around. He's done it once before, and now we hear his call for the children, turn this world around. Turn, 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 turn this world around for the children. Turn this world around. Turn, 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 turn this world around for the children. Turn this world around. The dreams of our young ones born into this world need respect and love to come alive. Honoring the children is what we're here to do. Now is the hour, and we've got the power to turn, 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 turn this world around for the children. Turn this world around. Turn, 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 turn this world around for the children. Turn this world around. If every nation's leaders put their children first, care and provide for every child, each and every household could sing a song of joy, and all around this planet a new light within it could turn, 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 turn this world around for the children. Turn this world around. Turn, 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 turn this world around for the children. Turn this world around. And the children sing, help our light to shine. May we all be fed, may we all be loved. May the others hear, open up their hearts to this song of ours. May they do their part. May our dreams unfold. May we find our place in a healthy world, embracing every race. May we all be free.
And that was Raffi, and this is Animal Voices 102.7 FM in Vancouver, CFRO Co-op Radio. Well, one doctor has characterized the animal research business as a brothel of pseudoscience. Tell us, we have a campaign coordinator for PETA, Ian Blessing, on the line, and he's going to tell us who and what is being, who is doing the research on this, on juice and nutrition and the companies that are doing it. It's pretty well known that animals are poisoned and blinded and killed in outdated product tests for shampoo and household cleaners and, you know, personal care household and household products. But who would ever have thought that animals were being tortured and killed to test juice? Well, it's true, and it's new, and it's a new low for an already atrocious animal testing industry. And some juice companies have been trying to hide what they're doing, but PETA has certainly done its homework. Tell us, Ian, who are these companies, and what are these pseudoscientists doing to animals in this case? Are you there? Oh, my God.
Oh. I'm sorry. Are you there?
I'm sorry, Ian. We didn't hear that. Could you just go over that again, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, great. Several months ago, PETA found out that Welch's, the makers of grape juice, were doing tests such as cutting open dogs' chests and inducing massive blood clots in their arteries and feeding them grape juice to see if it had any positive health effects so they could use those quote-unquote studies to make health claims and to sell their products and advertise. We wrote to Welch's, and they ended up ending their animal tests and actually posted a policy on their website at Welch's.com that says that they will no longer fund any animal experiments.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, that's marvelous.
That was really a shock and kind of horrifying that even everybody working in the PETA office was completely dumbfounded and confused when we found out that a juice company was performing tests on animals that were involving killing dogs and forcing monkeys to inhale secondhand smoke. And even the people at the PETA office really just couldn't wrap our heads around it.
So we were
shocked and very pleased and very happy that Welch's agreed to exclusively fund human clinical studies.
Right.
After we talked with them and met with them.
Just once, they did that pretty well immediately?
We started to plan a campaign against them, and we were going to do everything from demonstrations to letter writing campaigns and all of that kind of stuff. But after writing to them formally and telling them that we were planning on launching this campaign, they wrote back to us about a week later and said that they were done and that they would no longer perform any animal experiments.
Wow.
So that was fantastic. And after that, we looked at some of the other companies, some of the other juice companies, and we're still, again, kind of horrified to find out that this wasn't just one isolated company, that there were really quite a few of these companies that were funding. They weren't actually performing the research themselves, but funding experiments on whatever type of juice they sell, basically in order to find out more about the health properties of the juice and to make health claims. So one of the companies that we targeted after Welch's was Ocean Spray. And after simply writing a letter to Ocean Spray and after hearing from activists around the country, Ocean Spray also posted a formal policy on their website that said that they would never again fund animal experiments. The company right now that we're looking at and that we have been writing to back and forth and we've met with several times and they've heard from tens of thousands of activists around the country is Palm Wonderful, the makers of pomegranate juice. And they have they've also funded quite a few experiments. They've put millions and millions and millions of dollars in into research rather for pomegranate juice. They have done quite a few human trials, which are fantastic, and those provide very relevant results to humans and don't involve any cruelty to animals. But unfortunately, they also have funded a handful of experiments on animals that simply don't make any sense and are incredibly cruel. One of them, just as an example, they fed pregnant mice pomegranate juice, and after giving birth, took their babies, sealed them in a chamber with almost no oxygen for 45 minutes to induce severe brain injury in these mice to see if the pomegranate juice had any effect. In another one, kind of one of the most absurd things that I've heard personally is they performed one experiment on rabbits to try and treat erectile dysfunction. Which rabbits actually don't get. That's not a disorder that naturally occurs in rabbits. So they had to induce erectile dysfunction in rabbits by inserting a balloon type device into their arteries and inflating it in order to injure their arteries and induce erectile dysfunction in these animals. They then did the same thing, fed them pomegranate juice to see if it had any effect. But it simply doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm sure that you could find a group of men who suffer from erectile dysfunction, and they would be more than happy to drink some free pomegranate juice and see if it helped them out at all. But instead, Palm has chosen to fund cruel tests that have killed countless animals, and the results really aren't very relevant.
Well, we already know that these products can be nutritious if they're not over-processed. They're nutritious. Why the hell would you need anything like this bizarre behavior activity?
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that juice is healthy.
Yeah.
The health benefits of drinking juice are already known, so there's really no reason to be inducing severe brain damage in baby mice and inducing erectile dysfunction in rabbits and then killing them just to study the effect of pomegranate juice.
And the taxpayer has to foot the bill, I guess.
Actually, most of these experiments are being funded directly by Palm Wonderful, the company, and also being funded by a trust that's owned by the owners of Palm Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. Sorry, go ahead.
The owners of Palm Wonderful have kind of stated that they think pomegranates are magical and are going to save the world, and so they've been really pushing researching pomegranates. But they have funded quite a few studies that have involved human clinical trials on prostate cancer and things like that that have shown that pomegranates are good for you and can help these diseases.
You'd think
those results we can learn directly from because they're testing on the animals that these results are going to be relevant to.
That's right.
We don't need to know if pomegranate juice is going to help cure brain damage in mice or erectile dysfunction in rabbits.
No, it's totally useless information.
Yeah, it certainly.
And how do you get a dog to drink I mean, first you cut them open, and then what was it they did? Now they induced blood clots. Is that right? And then pump the animal full of grapes. Do you mean actually pump the animal full of grape juice, or?
For the Welch's experiment, they actually did kind of insert a tube and feed them grape juice that way. The experiments that Palm is funding, generally the way it's done is the experimenters mix a small or large amount of pomegranate concentrate, which is being provided by Palm Wonderful, into the animal's drinking water. And so they induce these horrible diseases in them. And then the animals drink water that's mixed with pomegranate juice, and they, after the experiment's over, kill the animals and slice them up to observe the effect that it has.
Yeah. So Palm Wonderful has refused to follow the lead of its competitors, and they say they choose to fund animal research, and they're not ashamed of the fact. So,
yes, in a letter at the very beginning when we started talking with Palm, they wrote a very long letter talking about very much contradicting themselves, talking about how they're animal lovers and people that work there have companion animals. But at the same time, they're completely ashamed of funding horribly cruel animal research that really has no benefit to human lives and is just killing animals and is completely senseless. We've written to them, we've talked to them, we've had several meetings with them, none of which have been productive at all because they've essentially completely stonewalled us and are refusing to go anywhere productive with our conversations. And at the same time, other companies such as Welch's and Ocean Spray used to fund animal experiments but have agreed not to because they looked at the evidence, they saw that it didn't make any sense and that it was cruel and unnecessary, and they could be getting better results by exclusively funding human trials, and so they stopped. Several of Palm's competitors that make pomegranate juice have signed a statement from PETA. They don't fund any experiments. Naked Juice is one of them that makes a 100% pomegranate juice, as well as Old Orchard, which both make pomegranate juice that is not tested on animals. And it's much cheaper anyway.
You would think that they'd be afraid to do such experiments because it might give them bad results, you know.
Yeah, one would think so. I mean, the end of all of these experiments, the conclusions basically say that more research is needed because obviously even the experimenters know that this isn't going to provide accurate enough results to base anything off of for humans because they're being done in species that are completely different from us. And so, I mean, really, these experiments they're pretty much just being funded so that they can put out press releases saying that it's possible that drinking pomegranate juice may have this or this. It's possible. We don't know for sure, but it could be.
Yeah. But it could really cause cancer too or something. You know, they always link these things up. It may be that that's a sure sign that it's an animal research protocol and they just don't know. So they say, well, it may be. But what good is that to anybody, you know? It may cause cancer. Well, everybody gets frightened. Maybe a very, very safe thing to consume, and there's no need for this kind of thing. But this, I don't know why, but the media always seems to latch onto these statements by the vivisecting community and never does it dawn on them that they're putting their own lives in jeopardy by this sense.
Yeah, I mean, vivisection in general just doesn't make any sense. If we want to be, finding cures and testing drugs and looking for ways around all these horrible diseases that we get, we should be funneling more money into developing alternatives to animal research. So many drugs and products that go through animal research are approved in animal research don't make it through human trials.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, 92% of the drugs that go through animal research fail in human trials. And some of the ones that actually do pass in human trials and make it to the market, 50% of those have to be pulled because they have adverse effects in humans. Some of them that even make it through animal and human trials end up killing people. So we really need to be focusing on alternatives that that actually make more sense and provide better results. Such as human clinical trials, epidemiological studies, things like this that just work better and are more relevant to humans.
Yeah, and there are more than 400 of such methods, and they're all far more reliable, cheaper and quicker, and far more reliable, as I say. Now, there's good guys in this story, and there's bad guys. You've got them listed on your website, which is www.caringconsumer.com, products/products_juice.asp. And people can actually go there and do something. They can actually sign a letter addressed to POM, is it? Or POM, whatever you call them.
If you go to our website, and you can also just go to PETA.org and search for juice, and that feature will come up, and you can see a list of the more than 20 companies that have signed our statement that says that they haven't funded animal research in the past, they don't currently fund animal research, and that they won't. These are all great companies, and some of them are doing research using only humans, which is fantastic. And people also on our website can send an email to POM and urge POM that they stop these tests. I mean, the easiest thing that people can do to help is simply refuse to purchase POM until they stop these tests, because eventually POM is going to realize that they're losing business over this. They will realize that people agree that this is a ridiculous thing that they're doing, and they should simply stop. People can also, I hope that if people have even just a couple minutes, we'll email the president of POM, Matt Tupper, and his email address, if people have a pen and paper and want to write this down, is M Tupper, that's MTUPPER, at POMWonderful.com. And he is the president of POM. He has the power to make changes. He has the power to stop POM's funding of animal tests immediately. And just let him know that you won't be buying POM juice, and that you'll spread the message and tell your friends about their horribly cruel tests until they stop.
Thanks, Ian Blessing. Thanks a lot, and your great organization for what you do, and the way you defend animals is just sparkling and beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Take care.
And that was Ian Blessing. What a wonderful name. He's campaign coordinator for PETA. You can go to that website, www.caringconsumers.com, and maybe just look for juice. And what a ridiculous, absurd thing to... You have to wonder at the mentality of those people, but I just don't get it. Well, Carl, any closing words?
Yes, we have a few closing words. Remind people about the Taste of Health at the end of this month, the 30th of June, a wonderful food festival at the Croatian Cultural Center, 2 days of food that's good for you. And also, we were supposed to do a fundraiser today. Because the campaign is, we're going to ask people next week to phone in and tell them that they listen to Animal Voices and they'd like to keep this show on the going by making a membership, and making that membership with your favorite program being Animal Voices. Well, it's been a pleasure being here. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. And in the meantime, we'll just say every creature deserves to live a life in that promised Garden of Eden. The chickens, the turkeys, the pigs, the cows, all of them have a right to live their lives free from cruelty and free from the harsh conditions that factory poses on these wonderful members of the animal kingdom.
Well, we're going to listen to some Mozart, because I downloaded the program for next show, which is Deconstructing Dinner, but I haven't burned it yet, so please have a little patience. It'll be about 5 minutes.
Play a bit
I didn't
of
have
Raffi,
time. Huh?
Raffi.
Raffi? Okay.
Yeah, there's a wonderful 4-minute
right.
section there.
First, we'll play that. And you're listening to Raffi.
In this world of wonder, circle where we all belong, voice of 1,000 tribes,
Tunza.
Circle where we all belong,
where we all belong.
Pulse of the human heart,
Tunza.
Circle where we all belong,
where we all belong.
Circle where we all are free, where we all belong.
Where we all belong. Where we all belong. Where we all belong.
Land and sea, every flower, every tree makes a circle
where we all belong.
Every bird, every cloud, every raindrop that falls makes a circle
where we all belong.
Every turn of the tide, every ocean wave makes a circle
where we all belong.
Every breeze that blows, every grain of sand makes a circle in the sun
where we all belong.
In this world of wonder, circle where we all belong.
Where we all belong.
Voice of a thousand tribes. Circle where we all belong.
Where we all belong.
Pulse of the human heart.
Where we all